This morning to you. And my scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians 11, and let's start at verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whosoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you gave us to remember you. We thank you for this season of the year. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your most precious gift, that of your only begotten Son, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, to die for each and every one of our sins, to pay the penalty for sin. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you bless the remainder of this service and let each thing be done and said and understood as you would have. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask and amen. And this morning, my message to you is entitled, Precious Memories. Precious Memories. And my text is 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And let's look at this. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we are at that season of the year. We are right at the specific day, the 14th day of the first month in God's calendar. And we are at that day that he gave us to come together in remembrance of the season of the year, of the event, of his deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian hard bondage and slavery. All of the other symbols that are very evident when you look at this particular remembrance and these particular events. Did you know that Pharaoh was a type of Satan in symbolic language. All of the other elements can be. Joseph is a type of Yeshua or Jesus because he was a preparer for future events. He was, in essence, a savior for the children of Israel. A savior from their 430 years of being held in basically captivity and being eventually turned into slaves. Precious memories. And today we're focusing upon the memories of Yeshua and of the things that he represents, and particularly in relation to this particular time and season of the year. But I want you to think back yourself of precious memories that you have. It can be memories of mom and dad and terrific vacations. It can be memories of special meals that you had together with your parents, perhaps brothers and sisters, family. It could be memories of your children at different stages in their lives and in your children's upbringing. It could be memories of your spiritual family, perhaps the church and the people when you first came to know the Lord, when you first received God's precious gift of salvation. You know, in that spiritual family, you have the ones that are already gone on to be with the Lord. That is, as the scripture expresses, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. And I like to look at it as being absent from the body, but in the care of the Lord. Because truly, when we are His and He is ours, He's never away from us. He's always with us. He's present with us and always will be as we hold on to Him. Our text says, remember the Lord's death. Remember this time of the year and Yeshua giving His life the way He did, fulfilling God's plan. God's plan for Yeshua, God's plan for all of humankind. We are to remember Yeshua and His death at Passover because He truly took the place of the Passover lamb. And from then on, He satisfied that requirement. The high priest didn't have to go into the Holy of Holies every year with the blood from a Passover lamb to perform the services that was required of him. But once and for all of humankind, as they give their hearts and lives to Him in obedience to the Lord, in obedience to Yahweh, then that don't have to be repeated. It's a once for all. I'd like for us to turn our attention to Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the person. And I'd like for us to first in our vision, in our remembrance of Him. I'd like to envision Him on the Mount, teaching the truths to His followers, His disciples, surely, but all the others that followed Him to hear His words of truth. I'd like for us to go to Matthew 5 and look at the words starting at verse 1. Matthew 5 and 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. Can you picture that? Can you see Jesus going up to perhaps close to the crest of the mountain and sitting down in a beautiful place? And then His followers and disciples gather around, and He starts speaking about heavenly things. He starts speaking about His Father in heaven. And the words are recorded. He opened His mouth and began to teach them. He was the greatest of teachers, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Aren't those wonderful words of love and mercy and forgiveness and understanding that Yeshua had directly from His Father through Him to His disciples and the ones who followed Him? A beautiful picture, if we can just picture that scene of Jesus on the mountain, teaching truths to His followers. And you know, one of the greatest truths in that particular area or in all of the Bible that Jesus brought at this particular scene to His disciples and His followers? Let's look in there and go down to verse 17. And I want you to look at verse 17 and 18. And besides all of the verses that came before of blessed are those who do these things, He follows this immediately with verses 17 and 18. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." That particular point in time has not happened to this day. Heaven and earth is not done away with. The smallest jot or tittle of the law has not been altered or changed or done away with. And it won't be until all is accomplished. And we're looking out in the future, and none of us knows exactly how long that's going to be. Did you know that Yeshua Himself does not know that day or hour? That's true. Yeshua doesn't know, but there is one who knows. And Yeshua lets you know who that is. And that is His Father. That is Yahweh. He knows. And He has everything in control. And He sustains everything. And He is there to help and deliver you from all of the things that come to you through and within your life. You won't, as long as you hold on to His hand, you will never go through anything without Him and His help and His deliverance and the power that He gives through you, to you through His Holy Spirit. We looked at Yeshua not only on the Mount teaching His truths to His followers, but we also look at Him on the ship. And I want you to picture a ship or a boat big enough to hold Yeshua and His disciples, at least, if not much bigger. And they're out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and the winds are whipping up, and the waves are beginning to lap over the edge of the boat, and the storm clouds are billowing, and it's a pretty frightful scene. It's beginning to get dark, and you have all of that turmoil going on. What do you think you would be doing? Even with Yeshua asleep in the ship, what would you be doing? I'd be looking for a way out and off if it was one. But obviously it wouldn't be one. So I'd just be hanging tight. And I certainly would be putting my trust in Yahweh and His Son in the boat with me. And I would be fearful, just as His disciples were. But Jesus' words was, "Do not be afraid. I have it under control." And Jesus, Yeshua, spoke to nature, spoke to the winds, and spoke to the waves, and spoke to the sky and the clouds. And His words calmed all of the elements. And He can calm any storm that you have brewing in your life, or in your family, or any circumstance that you're in that's beyond your control and you've given up hope. You've given up hope prematurely because your hope should rest in Yahweh and in Yeshua, because they truly can deliver you from anything. And will. And they're not only that, they're with you through whatever storm in life comes to you. Just as Yeshua was with His disciples on the ship. Mark 4, 37 through 41 tells us of that situation and of the storms that was present, and how Yeshua brings peace and poise in times of turmoil. And each one of us has had and is going to have more times of turmoil and more times that we need help well beyond what we're able to do anything about. And that's where you need to know your hope isn't in yourself. It's in Yahweh. And it's in His Son. And they want to deliver you. They want to be your deliverer. This is the time of deliverance. This is the season of deliverance. And it happens at least every year at this season. It's a greatest, one of the greatest memorials of Yahweh delivering His people. And thirdly, let's look at Yeshua in Bethany. What comes to your mind when you hear about the village of Bethany? Well, we should be thinking of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Do you remember the occasion where Lazarus became sick? And he was a dear friend of Yeshua. And the circumstances were really emotional. I don't know if you remember some of these, but let's look at John 11 and 1. We're going to skip around. John 11, 1, then 3, then 5, and a few more. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Notice those words. Yeshua, Jesus, the one whom you love, Lazarus, is sick. Let's go down to 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And let's go to 14. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And verse 44, the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Isn't that wonderful? Friends of Yeshua. Ones that He loved. And within these series of verses, you have that I think some people probably call the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus had times of very much emotion. He had love just like you. He shed tears just like you. He was affected by things around him just like you. He was acquainted with all that we are. In Bethany was where these things took place. Death is a defeated foe. And we should know that Yeshua Himself says death is not the end. He who sees death will live again. Yeshua became the first of those to rise from the dead and to ascend to His Father as a type of first fruit of those that are to follow. And that includes us. And lastly, I'd like for us to look at Yeshua on the cross. It was at this season of the year, long ago, approximately 2,000 years ago, that Yeshua was on the cross. And he lets us know that part of what took place as a result of that was that there became Passover symbols that now express God's plan for humankind. One of those was the blood, the wine that represented his blood that was shed on the cross, paying the penalty for sin for each one of us. And the others was the unleavened bread representing his broken body. And these are the emblems that part of the ones that we partake of at Passover supper time. And it also represents the 7-day unleavened bread period of time. And I want to remind you, Passover day is Monday. The first day of unleavened bread is Tuesday. And that's why we not only meet Sunday night at 7, we meet Monday night at 7, starting the first day of unleavened bread after sundown Monday. We assemble together, as the Scriptures lets us know, on the first day of unleavened bread, and then 1 week later, on the following Sunday night at 7, will represent the start of the 7th day. Both days are high Sabbaths, the first day and the 7th day of unleavened bread. So I remind you of that. And it's also part of this time of the year that during that 7-day unleavened bread that we're supposed to remove leaven products from our homes, representing that we are removing sin from our lives. And that, as we go through the rebirth process, we remove things that are too much like us from a natural standpoint and not enough like Yahweh. So we try to draw closer to Yahweh, removing sin things from our lives. So that's why we remove the leaven over that 7-day period of time. And that's why the little children are taught to go around their homes during that 7-day period and sort of help mom and dad search out leaven products. And because they are supposed to know and be taught that this is part of the process that God wants you to remember. That he wants you to remember him. He wants you to remember that part of his requirement for your life is that you remove sin from your life gradually, each and every day, each and every moment of your life. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, can we look at that, David? 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. For as often as you eat and drink, eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Doesn't say remember his birth. Doesn't say remember specifically the day that he rose from the dead. But it does say remember his death. Why? Because it's Passover time. Because there's other symbols represented there that God wants us to remember and review and be aware of for all times and each and every year. God gave a miraculous plan, and it included His only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, dying on the cross, shedding His blood for the sacrifice that had to be made, and the perfect sacrifice being the one in God's plan, so that when we accept that and accept His eternal plan of salvation and then hold on to Him with all we have in faith and in growing and in works with the whole obedient package that Yahweh requires of all of His children, of His family, then we can be assured of being eternally saved. We can be assured of being in His family forever, now and forever, as we meet those requirements. Yeshua died, shed His blood, went into the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But death did not hold Him down. He was resurrected from that death. And you know, death will not hold you or I down. We will, just as Yeshua did, rise from the dead at the time of Yahweh's moment. He will bring us from death back to life in the same manner that Yeshua was brought, and in the same spiritual body that Yeshua was brought. Let's look at John 20, 16 through 18, and we're closing pretty quickly. John 20, 16 through 18. And these are Jesus' words to Mary Magdalene after His resurrection. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to Him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Do you see the significance of that? Yeshua is the only begotten Son of Almighty Yahweh of old. The Father. And Yeshua calls the Father my God and your God. Precious memories of Yeshua. There are many, and we can just thank our Heavenly Father for His plan for all of mankind. I'd like, if you would, to stand with me right now. And let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You today for each one that's here, and we thank You for this message that You've brought to us. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for the many precious memories that we have of the life of Yeshua. And we thank You, Lord, that one day we will be with Yeshua and You in your family, in the family of God, and with you and Yeshua forever and ever. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your wonderful gifts. And in Yeshua's name, we ask all these things, and amen. And I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat Shalom. May the overflowing peace of God and His love and mercy bless you this day and all days. Let's read His blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And amen and amen.